Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of From Sunday to Sabbath. My name is Mike Scan. I've got a very, very big special treat for us as we are inviting. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to have two people on our podcast. I know it's been a minute, but that's okay. We're going to talk about some really good, tough Sunday to Sabbath issues. We're going to talk about everything Torah. We're going to talk about everything Yeshua. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to brag on Jesus today. And probably most of the time, I've got my guest speaker. And this is going to be weird because the way we have it set up right now, but hey, it'll be all good. Most of you are listening to us via a MP4 or one of our podcast audios. So hopefully you enjoy it. And don't forget, hey, if you haven't done so already and you're on YouTube, or even if you are on one of your podcasts, don't forget to like, don't forget to share, don't forget to tell your friends about us so we can continue on making great content. Anyways, let me introduce you to Mr. Tyler Utcove. This is old Tyler Utcove. Tyler, how you doing today?
Doing good, brother. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. What do we plan on doing through this podcast? What would you like to see happen?
Well, you know, talking about the issues that surround the Torah community, the issues that we all experience of coming into the truth of Torah and how Yeshua fulfills that and what it is walking through that with Yeshua, how the Torah can really apply to us, and just all of the topics that go along with that, and Amen. How to stay true to Yeshua and who he is and what he has done while applying the Torah to our lives. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, today, because especially like, you know, we've experienced it. I know you've probably experienced it being in the Torah. I know I've experienced it. And there are people that are online that are listening to us, man. They may be new. That's what I love about this podcast is it's not just for the deep intellectual, you know, the Gnosticism, how much knowledge you can get. But really, we want to help navigate people who are coming into this Torah movement who are truly hungering for truth. You know, I mean, yeah. I think it really comes out. I mean, everything that we've done has become out of the idea in Matthew, right? Where it says that for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, right? Sure, yeah. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of pitfalls. There are a lot of dangerous places that people can come that are transitioning from, say, a Sunday church into more of a Sabbath keeping Torah community. Mm-hmm. There are pitfalls, right? Yes. I kind of think of Donkey Kong, right? Like, remember Donkey Kong? Like, if he didn't make the jump correctly, right, he would fall and do, right? Yeah. That's kind of the way Torah is.
It is.
Because there are a lot of things, and there's a lot of, our listeners are used to hearing it. They're the weeds.
Yes.
You know, things that are in the weeds that get people, they really miss the focus.
Yeah. It's that pendulum swing. You know, we first come into the truth of Torah, it's like a whole new world opens up and we start to see things that maybe that were half truths growing up in church or just kind of misconceptions.
Right.
And so we start that swing over into learning Torah, learning Sabbath, the feast. I mean, all of the commands and everything. But what happens is some people, they continue swinging that way and they somewhat forget about Yeshua.
Oh, come on now.
And you know, since they've discovered Torah, at first they were just all New Testament, but then they swing over to Torah and they're just all Torah. And sometimes they forget to come back to Yeshua. And some of them, they go right into Judaism, convert to full blown Orthodox Judaism. I've had a few friends do that.
Yep.
And so it's just like, who's Yeshua?
Man, that's crazy, you know? Because I've even heard stories of a church out in Arizona that I heard from one of our own who was telling me, and I actually read the story of a pastor had done the same thing. He had come to Torah. You know, like many of us, you get so excited. There are so many different, you know, you're coming to this awakening, right? I mean, where, wow, man, all of the Bible makes sense now, you know, and you knew going to Sunday church, like there was something missing. Like the question I hear people ask all the time, right, is like, why, where is, you know, Like, how come we're meeting on Sunday, right? That was the big question. Yeah. Like, well, that's not everybody knows in Christianity knows that Sunday's not the Sabbath. They know what day is Sabbath. They know that Saturday is the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. No question. But then you get these guys, they come to this knowledge, they learn it, and now they're going, hey, you know, this is really cool. And like you said, it's that pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened to this pastor. He came in, had a small church, a small congregation somewhere in Arizona. And then what ended up happening is he began to, you know, teach his church. And he ended up taking the entire church and converting the entire church over to Judaism, the entire community. I mean, and then they had rabbis come out and do all the rabbinical stuff, you know, like that. And that's what you see happen. And I think part of our job as shepherds, as people that are coming into this, and there are so many great speakers that are out there that are doing this, and that is that we need to be, you know, we need to guard the gate. We need to guard this stuff that's coming in and go, hey, wait a minute, you know, is this biblical?
Right.
Or is this, what I see is people getting stuck in the, because there are a lot of shiny stuff in the in Judaism, right? There's a lot of stuff that they want to be a part. And they want to bring those, and there's nothing, I've talked about this before on our podcast. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong, say, with wearing a tallit like we do, like I, obviously I do when I preach. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wearing tzitzit, you know, it's commanded.
Right.
I think it gets bad. You know, there's nothing wrong with, I know people that wear yarmulkes, and there's nothing wrong with wearing them, right? Really, in Judaism, a yarmulke signifies that you're under covenant with Yahweh. Covering, right. But when you begin to start making those things mandatory.
And say you're sinning.
You're sinning because.
Sinning because you don't follow this Jewish tradition.
Yep.
That doesn't necessarily have to anything to do with the Torah.
Yeah. And that puts us in the line of being a Pharisee.
Right. And I like how you said, we got to guard the gate because, you know, Yeshua said, I am the gate. Like I'm the door to the sheepfold. And if you don't enter through me, you know, you're a thief and a robber.
Yeah. But isn't the Torah the gate? Isn't that the key? Aren't we supposed to go through the Torah first?
Yeah. And that, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can, it's very subtle, but people who will say, well, Torah and Yeshua are the same thing. Well, if you have Yeshua teaching you the Torah, we have to have Yeshua and the Holy Spirit teaching us the Torah. We can't look to the Orthodox to teach because they will teach the Torah in such a way as, you know, they'll lead you away from Yeshua.
Right.
You know, but Yeshua, he brings the fullness of the Torah and what it really means and writing it on your heart.
Right.
You know, he's the teacher, he's the shepherd, and he's the master. And so if we don't enter into the covenant through him, then what we hear about Torah, it might not be pointing to him. And so, yeah, he is the Torah, but if someone teaches you Torah that leads you away from Yeshua, they're still a thief and a robber.
Come on now.
Even though they're teaching Torah.
Now, that could be offensive.
Yeah.
You realize? I mean, that can be offensive, especially for people who are following Torah. And, you know, they like all of the glitz and the glimmer that comes with the Judaism side of it. They could actually be offended by that. Mm-hmm. And they're offended, I think, because they're saying, whoa, wait a minute. We're not leading people away from Jesus. We're just showing people how to live in Jesus. But I think what they're missing and the point that you're making is that when Yeshua no longer becomes the central figure and the central focus, when now it's up to, well, how well do you follow Torah that makes you righteous? I mean, isn't that what Acts 15, what they declared? They declared in Acts 15, now you correct me if I'm wrong, in Acts 15, when they were debating the circumcision issue and the issue of whether or not Gentiles should be circumcised. And I loved it because it was it Peter, was it James, who stood up and said, wait a minute, we're trying to burden them with the very thing that we failed at, right? Keeping the Torah.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to make them do this. Now, obviously he says for the Torah is taught in the synagogues every Sabbath. We know that, but what he made a valuable point though, we're trying to put this burden onto people that they failed at.
Yeah.
They failed at it. And we need Christ because we cannot, even under Christ, we don't do a good job at trying to keep all the law and the right. We don't if anybody keeps the Torah perfectly the same as, you know, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think scripture speaks against that.
Yeah.
It says that we can't.
Right. And that's, you know, it kind of goes back to when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yeah.
You know, the Pharisees were trying to put a yoke on the people, especially the new converts. It was just too much to bear.
Right.
But Yeshua, he knows what you need to learn at that moment. You know, like when someone comes to Yeshua, confesses their sin, repents, believes in him for salvation,
right,
he might not start them off with the Sabbath. You know, like, cause they might need to work on forgiveness. They might need to work on getting free from addiction.
Come on now.
You know? And, you know, I would want to, in my thinking, like, well, they need to learn this and this and this command. But really, Yeshua might be like, well, I need him to focus on, you know, something, another part of the Torah that is more pressing to him and a weightier matter to him at this time than another part of the Torah. And so we have to learn from him. Like, you know, he called us fishers of men.
That's
like,
right.
We bring the men to him and he cleans the fish.
Yep.
You know? And so our job is to get people to come to Yeshua and guide them to him. And he will teach his people what they need to know. And I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of that. Like he's not really there actually teaching them.
Right.
You know,
I find this fascinating. You named, you're quoting Matthew 11:29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, take upon my yoke, mm-hmm. you know, for my yoke is easy. In the Greek, it's the word zygos. Mm-hmm. That's the word yoke that mm-hmm. we get. And it literally is a balanced scale.
Ah, that's interesting.
How beautiful is that, yeah. right? So it's a balance. Take upon my yoke.
You're right.
My balance, right? Why? Because Yeshua off balances it in a sense, right? Yeah. Because mm-hmm. like the Torah said you were guilty, mm-hmm. right? The balance scale, he balances it, looking down at load down with obligations, formerly a place on the yoke. Mm. Listen to that. This is out of the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with the Semantic Domain in the Greek, zygos. I don't know if this is going to come across, but maybe you didn't hear that or not. Zygos. But it means frame for draft animals used for pulling and labor, balance scale. It means be a slave, a yoke, you know, mm-hmm. like you're a slave again. Right. Load down with obligations, formerly a place yoke on the neck. Now think about that. Think about what he just said. A load down with obligations, right? What did the Torah do? It's not that the Torah is done away with. We got to make sure, especially right. when it comes to salvation, we're saved yeah. through Messiah. Mm-hmm. So under the Torah, you had all of these obligations that you had to make. Mm-hmm. If you didn't meet those obligations, you became unrighteous. If you messed one of them, what Paul say? If you're guilty of breaking one of the laws, yeah. you're guilty of breaking all the law. Mm-hmm. So that obligation, that weight, that burden has now been put upon us.
Right.
And what I don't understand is why are men of faith who know Messiah, why are they trying to do that again? Why right. are they trying to burden people
yeah.
in a way that says, well, you're going to have to do this or you're going to have to do that in order for your salvation yeah. to be complete? That's exactly what the debate yeah. was in Acts 15.
Right. And that, you know, whenever James gave those, what was it, four or five instructions about, you know, staying free from sexual immorality
That's right.
and then like the eating things with blood. He just gave four or five things that was, I mean, that's a pretty light yoke. Just look, just make sure that you guys, you know, stay free from sexual morality and don't eat.
All of them dealing with what they were coming out of.
Right.
Which exactly. was, which was paganism.
Yeah.
Right. Every one of them coming out of the temple, mm-hmm. they were doing these, they were drinking blood. They were
yeah.
Eating things that had been strangled. Right.
Yeah,
they were having a lot of sexual immorality going on. And so it's not to say that, you know, people say, well, now you're trying to tell people not to follow the Torah. No, absolutely not. We know that the Torah that applies mm-hmm. is the Torah that we're to follow.
Right.
But what we're saying is that we've got to put a guard, and this is what I think pastors and shepherds need to be doing, is shepherding the people so that they don't become where we're starting to put them back down into a burden, much like that pastor did out in Arizona.
Right, yeah. Right? And that's what the Pharisees were doing, because they were telling them, look, you have to be circumcised. And then if you look into the thing about circumcision is that it – when you circumcised, it said that you were going to keep the complete full Torah.
Right.
And to them, it was like not only the law of Moses, but also their traditions.
Yep.
And it was like this humongous to-do list of people who were not used to that type of stuff.
That's exactly right.
And so it was like, oh my gosh, I have all these things to do to please God. And like, it would just be a complete huge weight. It's like making someone go to the gym who hasn't been to the gym ever and say, hey, bench press 200, 300 pounds.
And they can't do it.
And they can't do it. And it's like they hurt themselves.
And that's exactly what I think we got to guard against in communities such as ours that are people. You have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that are coming in and they are, you know, new to this. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to like, I remember a conversation that happened right here in our own community with a young man or a gentleman who was speaking to a young lady in our community. She hadn't been here, but for a minute. And when I say a minute, she may have been here for 3 or 4 weeks, but she wasn't being, and he's teaching her about like, you got to go to Israel to do Sukkot, like, you know, which is absolutely not what the scripture teaches. We will one day have to go to, have to go to Israel for Sukkot, but he's teaching them like, oh, to really celebrate Sukkot.
Yeah,
you're supposed to go to Israel. And actually, right now, that's not the command.
No.
Like when you read the command, the Moedim, in I think it's verse 41 or 42 of Exodus, Leviticus 23, it says that all males are supposed to go, right? And only those that have native born in Israel right now. And so we won't have to do it until after into the millennial, right? Yeah. Where the nations are supposed to come in.
Right.
And some even believe that that's a representation of that nation, like not the whole nation. It's like not everybody say in the United States, not everybody that's a believer and follower Yeshua is going to go over to Israel.
The leaders, the representatives.
That's exactly right. Yeah. The leaders and the representatives. So like our president would have to go over there and do that. Mm-hmm. But yet we're teaching these people a burden and we're putting these burdens on people. And then we can't understand why they don't follow. My wife, she had come to me about the same young lady and said someone was teaching her about the red heifer. Like this is a person who has just walked in the door and is learning the Torah for the first time. Mm-hmm. She's been going to Sunday church. She may have been a Catholic. I'm not sure, but she is so new to this. And then we're trying to force feed this stuff down there. And we're doing exactly what Acts 15, what are we doing? We're putting a yoke back upon them.
Right. Yeah. And the knowledge of the Torah is, it's starting to confuse them. Like when you use the knowledge of the Torah unwisely, then you will confuse people.
I think we're nailing it, aren't we? I mean,
you know, whenever using it as putting all of this, like you go down the list, you got to do this and this and this and this and this, like right now,
right?
Hurry up, you know, and you instead of the word leading you to Yeshua and getting into the deeper meaning of what the Torah is.
There you go.
Then, you know, you're just like, well, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't really give them the application, like how it affects their life. You're just like, just do it.
Right.
You
know? I think of it like this, right? I mean, this is interesting because I remember when I first came in and I've talked to our audience about this before. I think it's really amazing is when I first came in, I can tell you, you know, name after name after name of people that I followed. I started watching them and listening to them, and I just took it all, right? Mm-hmm. And like one ministry said I had to do this, and one ministry said I had to do this. You know, the sacred namers. You're like, oh my gosh, you're not saying the name of Jesus right. So you got to say it. Oh, you said Jesus. That means you're worshiping the son of Zeus, right? And so you have all of this. This is not wisdom. Mm-hmm. This is not good and healthy for a community or a young man or a young woman who's coming into the faith. And what I mean coming into the faith, they're coming to Torah for the first time, and all of their life they have been told that this thing is void, it does not work. And then you get these teachers that are out there that just love to dive into the deep weeds and try to show how much knowledge they have and show how smart they are.
Yeah.
And literally what they are doing is they're leading these people completely away from Messiah, because now they're putting the emphasis upon the works and not upon the work of Yeshua.
Right.
And I think that's unwise. Yes. Anytime, anything that we do, like there's nothing wrong with going to church. You should be in a church, right? I think you should be in a larger community where you can share your gift. But if even that supersedes your relationship with Yeshua, with Jesus, and you make more emphasis upon going to church than it is about your relationship with Messiah, well, you've done the same thing.
Right.
That's not wisdom.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Anything that we place in front of Messiah that we hold tighter than we do our relationship with him, you're in a very dangerous place. And I see that within the Torah movement. I see that within Messianic Christian churches, right?
Yeah.
Where they're putting more emphasis upon the works and the things than they are upon Christ.
Yeah, it's they're using the Torah, it's almost become an idol.
Oh, like, that's
the
good.
The Torah itself almost becomes an idol because you're just like, you're elevating the Torah to a place to where it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to point you to Christ,
yep.
to Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Paul said in Romans 10, that the goal of the Torah is Messiah.
That's right.
And then in Galatians 3, he says that the Torah was the schoolmaster. It was the servant that would, you know, teach the child to, you know, it's to look to Christ.
Yep.
And so it reminds me of, you know, like back in 1 Samuel, when they were about to go to the war with the Philistines, whenever Eli was high priest and his wicked sons were priests.
Yep.
Like, they were living unrighteously, but they would just take the Ark of the Covenant into battle and be like, man, we got the Ark of the Covenant. They used it as a superstitious thing, like some sort of thing to, as an image to be like, well, I have this Ark, so I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And so some people are like, well, I just have the Torah, you know, Torah, 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 but, you know, forget about Yeshua, the reason of the Torah, and think that they can be in right standing with the Father.
Yep.
And that's unwise.
Yeah.
That's completely unwise.
Yeah. No wisdom at all.
Yeah.
And I get it, man. I mean, you get people in this, man, that are so knowledge bent. They're knowledge focused. And when you do that, right, when you start becoming knowledge focused and not Messiah focused, that's the end result. And the end result, right, is never good. It's always going to end in a way that, you know, anything that leads us, I'm wondering if that's where we get into. I mean, we can talk about this in another time, but there, you know, maybe we need to hash out what some of those things are.
Yeah. Maybe, like the letter of the law versus the spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's where people, we miss it, mm-hmm. that we forget, you know, that it's the spirit of the law.
Right.
And yes, there are obviously the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah. But Messiah comes in, and that's what Messiah does, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you hear people say, well, you can't change the commandments. You can't change the law. But Jesus did. Mm. Like, think about it. The law was, do not commit adultery.
Yeah.
But Yeshua came in, and what does he do? He doesn't change it necessarily, but he gives it.
He, like, elevates it.
He elevates it to the place of, he literally, I've told people, he made it harder.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just a physical act of adultery. Right. Well, nobody knows what I'm thinking, so I'm going to go out and, mm-hmm. you know, take a look. Now he goes back and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, let me tell you something. I know what the law says. The law says, you have read, or it is written, you shall not commit adultery. I say, mm-hmm. right? In other words, I'm going to elevate this. I'm going to change it a little bit, and I'm going to say it's about your heart.
Right. Yeah.
It's all about the heart.
Yeah.
It make complete difference. That's a complete switch from the work to the heart.
Right. And I think, you know, I was just reading in 1 Corinthians 5 this morning, and, you know, it was talking about the guy who was in sexual immorality. Such that's not even named among the Gentiles, you know,
right.
A man has his father's wife. And Paul is like, get that person out from among you. Get the evil out, get the leaven out, and so that the body can be free, basically, of sin. Well, you know, back in the Torah, it says that if someone who is doing that type of thing, you would stone them and get the evil out from among you, right? Well, Paul's not telling, you know, the church to stone him because, for one, they're under Roman rule, right?
Come on.
But what he's doing, he's fulfilling the Torah actually by getting to the spirit of it. The spirit of the Torah is like, get the evil out from among the camp.
Right.
That's the point of like stoning that person and getting it out.
Right.
So
right,
that everybody else can fear and see like, hey, oh man, we shouldn't be doing that.
Exactly.
So he really is fulfilling the spirit of the Torah by saying, hand this person over to Satan and get them out from among you. Because what is someone doing who is called a brother acting like that?
Right.
You know, because he was like, you know, I didn't tell you not to associate with someone who is an extortioner or greedy of the world.
Right.
But someone who is named a brother, get that evil out from among you. So he's basically, it's almost like he's saying stone them, quote unquote, get the evil out. But, you know, so that's the difference between like the letter of the Torah versus the spirit of it. Like, we can't follow the letter. You know, some people bring that objection up. Well, you're not stoning people, are you?
Right.
Well, no, but you're getting the evil out.
That's right.
You know, and that's the spirit of it.
That's right. I think that's fascinating. I mean, we're going to have to wrap it up here. I mean, I can't believe we've already gone 25 minutes.
Wow.
But I want to say this on as we wrap this up, because I think that what we're talking about is absolutely, it's powerful. And actually, for those who are listening, we were actually going to use this only as a test. And I just like when the content just got good, I'm just like, man, we're just going to keep this. And so we'll get it sent out to everybody real quick. But I was, you know, we talk about just this, the harshness, I think, that can come from following the Torah and missing Messiah. I think when you remove the grace, you remove, and then you begin to set yourself up in a place where, well, I'm better than you. I do Torah better than you.
Yeah.
And so when you kind of get into that place, that's a very dangerous place.
Pastor, it goes back to that question you asked on Sabbath. You said, can someone follow Torah without the Spirit?
Yeah.
And yes, they can. But what does that make them? It makes them arrogant. It makes them mean.
Legalistic. Yeah.
It makes them a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Like when you don't have the Spirit.
Yeah.
And the humility of Yeshua. And see, he was humble towards those who were quote unquote sinners, what people will call sinners. But to the righteous or to the religious people, the ones who knew it and acted that way. He was harsh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, and we're that way today. Mm. I mean, we're actually the opposite. I was talking to somebody. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to wrap it up with this. Is that I believe there is great life and there's great such a joy coming into the faith and understanding like the Ten Commandments and the Torah, the feast days, the way we eat, you know, the zitzit, and it goes on and on and on. There are so many great things that coming into this, I'm like, man, now I understand how this applies.
Yeah.
But getting into the mess of it, one of the things that I have discovered, and I was talking to someone this week about that, I said, you know, I think with my son and I, we were on our way to go do something during this weekend. And I said to him, I said, you know, what's scary is that there are people that are in this movement that have come to the Torah and they don't understand the great, their focus is changing. Hmm. And rather their focus being on, they forgot how they came in. They came in by grace. They forgot what mountain they came in on by, right? We didn't come in by Mount Sinai.
Right.
Right. But they think that we came in from Mount Zion, right? Or if you really want to get
Mount
technical,
Moriah,
I was going to say Mount Moriah, right? If you really want to get technical about it.
Right.
And so, but these people they come in by Mount Moriah, but they don't like it. And so they go back to Mount Sinai and they want to come in by way of the law.
Yeah.
And I said this to my son. I said, the sad thing about it and what I'm discovering in this movement is that not everybody, please understand, I know this is not everybody, but there are people in this movement that had they been alive when the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, they would have picked up stones. And I'm talking about people who know who Jesus is, who's met him, who maybe were lost or were in sin or were so just jacked up people. And then they discovered Torah and they took their eyes off Messiah and they begin to look at their works and they begin to look at the things that they could do. Mm. And they begin to exalt those works again, just as the Pharisees did, right? Mm-hmm. They begin to exalt that higher than what Yeshua has done for us.
Wow.
And when we take our eyes off of that, man, we will be susceptible as well. We will bend over and we will grab rocks and we will start stoning people with them. It's a phrase that I have in our community that when we get ready to pray, and especially if the Lord leads me to where we know, you know, that there are men or women who are dealing with stuff, right? And the Holy Spirit's moving and we're just like, okay, Holy Spirit, we want you to just bless these people and, you know, maybe you need prayer today, right? And maybe you're struggling in something in your life and you want someone to pray for you. I always do this. I always lift up my hands. I say, look, I have no stones. I have no stones. I'm not holding any rocks. No one here is going to throw rocks at you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes Epic Life Church a very special place is that, you know, foundationally it hinges on Yeshua.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It hinges on Yeshua. And, we're to obey the Torah. But I remember a good friend of mine, he said this, and he may be even listening. He said to me, he's like, Mike, I wish we could just get back to Jesus. And that Torah is something that we just do, you know, because we're missing it.
Yeah.
We're beginning to miss it. We got to guard our hearts before we become that way.
You know, if that's so good, you know, if we want to see first century revival, we're going to find ourselves combating the first century problems.
That's exactly right.
of the Pharisees who even some of the ones who believed, even them were
first century problems or first century church, first century problems, bro. That's it. So we're dealing with the same demons, man, that they were dealing with it, man. Mm-hmm. Well, praise the Lord, man. Thank you, Tyler, man. We're going to come back next week. We're going to do this again. What an amazing time that we've had. I'm so grateful for all of you who've joined us. Man, you know, here's the thing, man. Keep Jesus at the center. That's what it's about. That's what Sunday to Sabbath is. It doesn't mean that we forgo Jesus, and it doesn't mean we forgo the Torah. It just means that the only way we get to come in by way of Torah is because of Yeshua. Mm. And we can't forget that, man. And so, hey, if you haven't done so already and you're still here, don't forget to like the page. Don't forget to share it. Let everybody know about Sunday to Sabbath, man. And we're going to come back with some, we got great plans in the future, some great content that we're going to bring to you and help you become the man or woman that Yahweh has called you to be. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to plead with you today, man. It's really simple. And the simple, well, it's not simple. You know, the old man used to say it was simple. It's really not. Is that number one, you need to recognize what Jesus Christ has done for you. He died on a cross for your sin, right? You were supposed to die. I was supposed to die because of our sin, because of our lawlessness. We broke the law of God. But yet Jesus Christ, man, perfectly fulfilled, perfectly walked out, not the word fulfilled. He perfectly walked out the Torah because we couldn't, because we couldn't. And the Bible says that whomsoever believeth upon him, as the scripture says, as the scripture teacheth, so you have to repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. But you got to believe in him. Believing doesn't just mean a thinking, a thought in your brain. Mm-hmm. It means that you turn your life to him. You trust in him. You love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you love your neighbor as you love yourself. God bless you. This has been From Sunday to Sabbath. Man, we'll see you next week on another episode. God bless you. We'll see you soon.